The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar, but not too familiar, but not too not familiar. It's a new craze. Angry girls, do you wanna just say, hey, I wanna? Just say, hey, I wanna.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to My Brother and Me Picks the Oscars. I'm going to start with the Grouch.
Oh, no.
Oh, don't. Golly.
Don't make that joke.
Oh, fuck.
You're going to start with what?
The Grouch.
He said the Grouch.
What's your favorite Oscar, Travis?
Mine is Oscar from The Odd Couple.
And you should say, like, your name.
Nope. I don't want to be associated with this goof.
I like that spring-legged murderer.
Sorry, which one?
Pardon?
The blade-footed wife killer.
Blade-footed wife killer Oscar.
Oscar Pistorius.
Pistorius.
Oh, no!
Blade-footed wife killer Oscar Pistorius is your favorite Oscar?
See, I thought you were talking about Spring-Heeled Jack, and then it turned into a much worse thing. I know, that's why I was confused. I was very lost as to the direction Griffin was taking it.
This summer, in The Fugitive 2, Oscar Pistorius is on the run from the law as he races against time to find the two-legged man
you
that killed his wife.
Literally made that joke last week and on last week's Besties. That is
I did
three,
it. It's never made it to
that
press.
That is a three.
It's never made it to press. It's never made it to press.
That
it's always been before. It's
three-peat.
Griffin, you edit both of those shows. Has that ever made it to press?
It's made it to my ears three times.
Then just leave it in the show for once.
Tragedy plus time equals comedy, and comedy plus time equals whatever that was. It circles back around and turns back to tragedy again.
This is My Brother Reads, a advice show for the modern era. The Oscars are over. Congratulations to Argo.
You really think Argo's going to take it?
I just haven't seen that many of them.
Can I be honest with you guys? I don't even know who's nominated for Best Picture.
God, you uncultured goobers.
The only movies I saw this year are Argo and the training DVD for my blender. So unless Lady Mixing Up Strawberries is nominated for Best Supporting Actress.
It's picking up a lot of buzz with the foreign press, though.
Yeah.
I mean, but they'll fucking watch anything. Have you guys seen Amour? It's like, oh, we get it. They're old and they're dying slow.
It's like Cocoon if the aliens didn't come down. And
it's just non-plot driven Cocoon.
It's not plot. It's like, you know how Waking Ned Divine is about old Irish people.
If you took Cocoon and took out all the action sequences,
right? Take out Ned Beatty and Warren Beatty and Diabetes. What's his name?
Diabetes Beatty.
Diabetes.
No, what's that one? What's that?
Woodrow Wilson.
You're thinking of Ed Grimley.
Oh my God! Just give me a straight answer.
Oh, Alfred Grimley. William Howard Taft.
Okay, you guys talk one at a time. All right, Travis. What is Wilford Brimley's name?
Howard Taft.
Okay, bad. Griffin. What is Wilford Brimley's name?
I fucking know this. What is Cocoon? Fuck!
Correct. That is correct. You did get it right with Under the Wire to go. This is My Brother, Me. It's an advice show for the modern era. That's right. We're ready to help you. We've got our own stuff together, and now we're going to help you do the same thing.
Is Wilford Brimley nominated for an Oscar this year?
He's nominated for Best Dead Person Forever.
He's not dead.
He's dead as fuck. God, is he not dead?
Wilford Brimley?
Is he not dead?
No.
Wilford Brimley's alive as fuck.
I know.
That oatmeal is getting it done for him.
It's true.
He loves it.
He stirs in a spoonful of insulin every day, keeps him going.
Do you guys hear his voice when you eat oatmeal?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think of that, like,
it's good. It's got good for you stuff in it to keep you going all day long.
Like, oh, that, see, that's that was really good. I eat it. I hear really erotic things in Wilford Brimley's voice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Shove that, right? Eat it. Mm-hmm. You know what else is rich and creamy and has flakes of oats in it?
Oatmeal.
Also my cum. I'm 100...
Okay. Good. Good show today. Over the last 15 months, I've lost around 100 pounds, built muscle, and gotten more fit all around using just exercise and willpower. I now find myself with a tiny bit of something I never had, self-confidence. Are there any steps I can take to nurture and grow this confidence in the continuing attempt to be a better me? Thanks in advance, progressing in Pittsburgh.
First of all, congratulations.
That's fantastic. Way to go. I'm proud of you.
Unless you weighed like 120 pounds beforehand. Uh-huh. And then like,
I'm down to just a skull at this point. Yeah, basically.
This is beyond like a level of Kate Moss unhealthiness. This is like thinner. This is fucking bad news.
You look fantastic. We're really worried about you. Mm. You weigh less than 8 pairs of shoes.
Yeah.
I'm really worried.
Justin, why do you continue to insist on comparing things to shoe weight?
Because when I was in school, they told us that 1 pair of shoes weighs 1 kilogram. And so I somehow got it in my head that that's a pretty good system for measurement.
That seems flawed because every shoe is different. Is that like one pair of adult male cowboy boots or like...
That's
one
true and
stiletto
beautiful.
Heel.
Every shoe is different, Travis. I think we would all do well to remember that.
Mm. But they all have beautiful soles.
Travis, yeah. You're such a carry.
You guys.
I would, man, it sounds like you got enough. You just wrote into a podcast to brag about how fucking super healthy you are, and that's great and everything. I wouldn't get any more confident than that. I think you go any further than that.
Yeah,
you're
fine.
Bordering on Hitler.
Why? I'm not sure Hitler, though.
I'm saying that if he gains a little bit more confidence, pretty soon he's going to sweep through the world. No?
I guess, maybe.
To be fair, I may not know the origins of Hitler.
Or what
Hitler
he
lost
did,
like 100 pounds.
What his whole scene is, sort of what his place in history was, like who the guy is.
Any of it at all.
It was that he did some paintings and got really confident and turned that confidence into like a dictatorship.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
I mean, I am proud of you. It's just you don't want to... Do you want to be the next Jared? Like, I hate to bring up Jared every fucking week on this show, but...
It does seem that way lately, doesn't it?
It does kind of see... Jared is the new Ghosts, and, like, I worry, because every time that dude comes on your TV, you're like, oh, here it comes again. I'm getting another fucking earful from Jared about how eating nothing but Subway sandwiches turned his fucking life around. Yeah, but he says it now in a way, he's like, I ate sandwiches until I... half disappeared. It's like, get it, dude.
And it's doubly irritating because, you know, now he has, like, the money to, like, pay someone for that.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, he has the money to hire a personal chef. You know, I don't think he's rolling into Subway and buying those sandwiches anymore. But
more importantly, he's got enough money that he can just put the weight back on again. Because, like... He has so much money, even if he goes in on like an eating spree, becomes the Burger King spokesperson for a year, and then blimpos back up, he's still going to be extremely, extremely fuckable because of all that Skrill.
We're losing the narrative of Jared. The narrative has lost its impact. I think he needs to put on like 200 and be the spokesperson
for
Butterburger for a while.
He needs a spiral is what you're saying.
Yeah.
He needs an arc.
He
needs two arcs on either side of his body that represent his chunk, like coming back in an arc.
As goes Jared, so goes the country. I think if Jared becomes the BK spokesman, comes out, does a press conference, says, I'm done with this healthy living. You only get one trip around this beautiful blue orb, and I'm going to spend mine eating a sloppy dog or whatever they have at Burger King. I'm going to get some
just
chicken.
Mainly sloppy dogs.
I'm going to get myself a sloppy dog chicken slipper combo, which is like an actual footwear made of fried chicken. And he just really, really loses himself And then a year later, he's back up to 450, flips back to Subway for...
Oops.
Yeah, Prodigal Son comes back, says, I'm doing it again, America, getting healthy for you. We didn't see him lose the weight the first time. We were just
we didn't get to be part of that.
Right. Well, all we got was a skinny, nerd-ass looking dude with some big old pants. Like, I'm not sure that that's good evidence for me.
Did he start the big pants movement? Side note, but it's one of my favorite things in weight loss commercials. Where it's like, I've got big pants. Oh, good for you.
Mm-hmm. Because what you don't see, maybe what you don't see is he's got giant legs when he was fat. But his torso is completely normal.
I saw Norbit, you know?
Yeah, like, sure. This is not Jermaine. You just wanted to brag that you...
You were one of the three people in the country that saw Norbit.
Mm.
I did see Norbit.
I'm not ashamed. If you were to ask if I've seen Norbit or not, the answer is yes.
I saw it.
I don't know how to tell somebody to have comp... Just when somebody walks up and says, how do you evaluate yourself? Just go, oh, pretty good, I guess. Like, that's it. And then you have confidence.
Moving on up. Getting better. I don't know. It's just one of those things where it's like, you could... I don't know. Is it a fake it till you make it thing, or just keep taking care of yourself? And the more you care for yourself, the more you like yourself, and the more confidence you'll have. That's what I have to assume. I don't think you just wake up one day and be like, "I'm confident now."
I have noticed that. This may not be necessarily confidence, but in terms of just keeping yourself going, I think that I've had some success with doing like a little bit of exercise in the mornings, kind of sending yourself the signal that like it's worth taking care of yourself. And I think that if you do a little bit of that kind of stuff every day, you know, you do stuff like, you know, increase your water intake and just take a couple seconds out of your day to look after yourself, take care of yourself, do something for you for once,
do some sit-ups. Put a mirror on the floor and then squat over it and then, like, really get a good look in there.
In where?
Where? In your gaper? Is that what you're saying to me?
I'm saying...
You know, in the deep, dark pit that is your taint.
You gotta love the skin you're in, Dove.
I think everybody has had the experience of maybe getting out of the shower or something or being... nude for some reason and getting up or going to like change or something and you get a look of yourself, like you get a look of yourself in the mirror that's like, I did not know I had that angle. Mm-hmm. You know, like I did not know that was part of my look.
I feel like it's precipitously just getting, I feel like I've aged like 10 years in the past 3 months. I don't know what it is. I just look at my skin and it's just sallow and I don't feel great about myself, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Well, you know what I do? I have rampant narcissism, and so I just think I'm fucking awesome.
Yeah, that helps, I guess.
It does. It helps so much.
Yeah, Travis is a man that is very familiar with bathroom floor mirrors.
Oh, God, yes. In fact, my entire bathroom floor is just made of mirrors.
Yeah,
you cut out the middle. The problem is it's really slippery.
Oh, man. Do you guys want to Yahoo?
Yes, please.
Crab-solutely.
What?
That's my new thing where I pretend I'm a crab.
Uh-huh.
Is this going
to be... It's all like crab puns, like crab-solutely, and you got to be crabbing me, and I'm feeling kind of crabby. And,
Wait. How is you got to be crabbing me a pun?
It's a pun on shitting. It's sort of like smurfing me.
Uh-huh. You
know? I got you.
Oh, okay. So I see. So it's like crabbing is like a noun and a verb and an adverb and an adjective and...
Yeah. Stupid. I'm tired of all these... crabbing crabsicans taking all our jobs. Yeah,
oh, it's also racist.
Like a racist crab.
Guys, my boyfriend wants me to crab on him. What?
What?
Like poop.
Oscar Pistorius crabbed his wife.
No!
Crabbed his crab.
This is
that funny.
And then they put him in the crab electric chair.
But you just said electric on the end of crab.
Okay. Griffin, do you want to go ahead and crab this question?
Yeah. This Yahoo was sent in by Jacob Locker. The Prodigal Son returns.
Thank you, Jacob. Why did you say it like a creepy accountant?
Well, because that's his punishment for not making it on the show lately. Is asked by Yahoo Answers user Risha, who asks, Are there any phone apps that you can download to make your butt look bigger or make your butt bigger?
Wait.
To make your butt look bigger or make your butt bigger?
What a wide gulf between perception and reality. This person does not seem to grasp it. Are you saying, like, an application that can bend reality to your way? Like,
or maybe she... Oh, okay. What if she's asking to make it appear bigger or something that makes your butt bigger, but it does not appear bigger? She's fine either way.
Oh, man, but we're getting into some string theory shit, though. That's some Schrodinger's cat. If Schrodinger's cat had a fat ass...
Just put your ass in a box. And then, depending on if somebody looks at it or not, it may or may not be bigger.
Uh-huh. It is dead in both universes. Mm-hmm. And then, or wait, it's alive. What's it? What? How is Schrodinger's...
One butt cheek is alive and one butt cheek is dead. Man,
I get like that sometimes when I sit weird at the movies.
What you got to watch out for is when one butt cheek consumes the other one within the box.
Let's make this simpler. Of course, of course there are 5,000 iPhone apps that make your butt look bigger. There are 5,000 competing companies. There's a startup company that began in San Francisco. It was completely originated. Somebody's full-time employment is Funny Butt Cam, which
there's
is
Funny Butt Cam. There's iButt.
There's iButt, which is fighting against it, and they actually have a copyright suit against it. It's a lot of Silicon Valley politicking.
Let's take quick odds on iButt being an actual app available right now in the App Store.
One to one.
Okay.
It is a statistical.
I would say 0-1.
Let's do a parlay. What does it do? Is it just another fart piano? Is it a Funny Butt Cam? What are we talking about?
I bet it's something that you could take pictures of your friends and somehow, like, superimpose butts onto their faces.
Oh, I see. Or maybe it just erases their shorts.
I think you would just call that butthead, right?
Yeah. Oh, that's a better name. Or buttface. Facebook is probably a good way to go.
Butt Facebook. Sure, why not? This is an untapped market.
Yeah.
I also feel like this is like a quantum thing where as we even consider the possibility of these different things, they simultaneously become extant.
Okay, super quick. I tried to search for iButt. And it suggested I search instead for iButterfly, which is very different.
Yeah.
a much different approach to the whole big fat ass thing.
Yeah. There are no apps called iButt, which I assume has to be old Steve.
What Travis is saying is that by saying it, there is a JavaScript programmer right now furiously typing out what he needs to get iButt on the market before the episode is over.
Who's listening in, though?
That's their fucking spies everywhere, man.
Thanks, WikiLeaks. I've been using my fitness pal to help me shed the LBs. 17 LBs in 2013 as of last Wednesday.
That's so dope. So,
thank you very much. Why don't you get my fitness enemy? Every time.
My fitness enemy not only tracks the special kind of foods that you eat to get that fat ass, because we know it's out there. We know those foods exist. A lot of legumes. And then also the exercises that you don't do and the special way that you sit at the movies that makes your butt cheeks bigger.
I would like to play that game where it's like, today I didn't do a million squats and I definitely didn't do 1,000 sit-ups.
We can...
good work. That's a half a point each. You have 1 billion points now.
We could somehow work the gyroscope inside the iPhone into the app, so if it detects that you're moving around, it's like, chill the fuck out, skinny person.
Oh, and there's like a Siri-like voice that sometimes just comes on and goes, yeah, have some pizza. What? Don't worry about it.
Finish your plate, Daniel. Daniel, it's your fitness enemy. Finish your plate, Daniel. It's also got a pedometer function that shocks you every time you take a step.
Yeah.
So with every
step. The electrodes are attached to your butt cheeks. It's double function because when you zap them, it tenses and releases, and it strengthens and tones. I bet you that there is also an app out there that vibrates at a certain frequency. That, like, the creator of the app says, if you put this on your butt, it'll get bigger. Or your pee-pee. Or, like, whatever.
Oh, definitely that.
It's just sending him pictures of your butt.
Mm-hmm. but like super close. It would just be a black screen, but they would know.
He knows.
I know exactly what that is. I believe that's fifth quadrant, if I'm not mistaken.
Why? Why?
Travis has cut the human butt into butcher style cuts of meat.
I also want to say that there's someone out there right now listening going, quadrants are in fours, you asshole. Hence,
fifth quadrant is the secret tasty part of the butt.
That's the part you can't get that from the butcher unless you know him real well. And only then you've got to have already been going there for like 2 or 3 years.
You have to have an apple core and the will to never give up. And you can finally get to the fifth quadrant.
You get to the fifth quadrant.
You eat that piece of butt.
It's like the alien surgery scene in Independence Day.
The problem is it is like the fugu fish, yeah. Where if you get the wrong cut of butt, you're dead.
If you eat even a portion of the fourth quadrant of the butt,
oh God,
kiss it goodbye.
Yeah.
Quite literally.
You will have a butt there.
A portion of the first quadrant, well, that's just social suicide.
Yeah.
What are you, a poor person?
Mm-hmm. Now, if you get in that second quadrant, sex.
That, as we all know, is the aphrodisiac quantity of the butt.
I meant like, that's a butthole.
Okay, good. Oh, God. Good, okay. Wonderful.
Just saying, people do that.
Wait, people actually can't technically, like, from a physics point of view, people can't eat butthole.
It's very, it's they that's why
eat the absence of thing.
No,
they
that's
can't eat the absence of butt.
I guess you ate my butthole.
You can, but you're so hungry after it.
I don't have a hole down there anymore. It's just a continuum of flesh. I don't know.
The only thing they can eat buttholes is the Langoliers, because they can actually. They bend space and time. You know, Alfred Hitchcock doesn't have a belly button.
Is that true?
Yeah, it's true.
Well, that's because he's dead.
Wow. Well, okay, yeah. Okay,
he doesn't
fine.
Have a lot of things anymore.
Okay, but no, yeah, he had surgery when he was a kid, and they sewed up his belly button, so he didn't have a belly button.
So he's just like a Matryoshka doll or whatever those are called?
You can just stack multiple Alfred Hitchcocks inside one of them.
I bet that they're, I feel like most of the people that buy apps, and like I buy a shit ton of apps, but like I just have this feeling that most of the people that buy apps are dumb. And so I really do think that this vibration, we could get like a doctor to sign off on it and be like, yep, put that on your dipstick, and it's going to increase in size. Take it from me. Doctor.
Wait, so we've somehow veered from edible butt parts to an app that makes your dick bigger?
Or your butt, or whatever you put on it. Maybe you put it on your muscle. It vibrates it, and the doctor says
it. With that kind of power,
I know.
What if you, like, left it on your pinky for too long, and then you got a giant pinky finger?
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. It'd be rough. It'd be like the end of Akira. You would just flood a whole city with your body.
Do you think there's a metal detector app?
See, that's exactly the kind of shit I'm talking about. Like, point your camera at the ground. We can tell when there's metal in it. Like, you wicked can't.
You totally can't. Some of this, okay, there definitely is. And it says for fun only. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So no business applications? Okay,
no
fine.
Business applications for this imaginary metal detector?
Okay, fine. But I was going to do science. Ah, damn it.
Quiet, I'm downloading.
And you need full focus to do that? How do you download stuff on your iPhone? Hold on, I have to stare at it to make it work.
I gotta remember my password.
He hand checks each bit and byte. As it, yes, yeah, ooh, hola.
I made my password deliberately difficult to remember and enter to prevent myself from drunk buying any more apps.
A
metal detector.
An online textbook? $60.
Sure thing.
Perfect.
Got it. First review, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. First review, it is a fake. It goes by the way you tilt your iPhone. Second review, works for most metals. Okay. Okay, guys.
That is obviously like a plant, but if you're going to get a plant, why not? Why is that plant like, I don't know, it gets cobalt just fine, but 10, it can't seem to, doesn't seem to grok 10, but it got cobalt for me, so.
Oh my God. Here's a great review. Delete it. Does not work on any iPad Touch, and that is 5 stars.
Perfect. It is great in its horribleness.
Oh, man. Let's get another question from one of our beloved readers. What do you guys say?
No.
I'm a straight lady that happens to be very picky about the guys I date. So I've been single for a long time. My bestie, who's significantly less picky, interpreted my longstanding singleness as asexuality. Or at least I think she has. Anytime someone hits on me or I hit on someone around her, she practically shouts that I'm asexual until they go away. She expects me to thank her for saving me from them. She also makes jokes about how asexual I am constantly. I don't want her shoving guys in my face, but this is out of control. How can I explain to her that I'm not asexual without her thinking I'm hiding in the closet? And that's from Persnickety in Ohio.
Why don't you just say it?
Why don't you just say, get the fuck, what the fuck are you doing there, misery? Because you're fucking creeping me out.
Hey, Sharon, maybe don't bring it up. You can feel that way all you want to, but maybe that's not the opening line when you see me talking to a fella.
Hey, maybe you, like, you've had kind of a cold streak because your friend Sharon tells everybody you're asexual.
That your vagina grew over. Maybe that's the issue.
I'm not like a relationship scientist or anything, but that seems probable. I will also say that it's kind of offensive that there's a population, the segment of the population that is actually living with asexuality. This is like a group of people. It's not like a goof. There's like actual asexual people.
Yeah, and it's not like a cool thing for you to be like, oh, she doesn't sleep with anyone. She's totally asexual.
It's like an actual thing.
Hey, dog.
You know, they've got their own struggles trying to get accepted in society without your friend Sharon trying to pussy block you at every turn.
Yeah.
Is that like the acceptable thing for cock blocking?
I could come up with way worse terms.
So let's go with that. I know you could.
No, okay. I want to hear like three of them.
Oh God. Lip zipping.
I don't want to hear half of one.
First time out. Ladies and gentlemen, Travis Patrick McElroy.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Oh, no, they can find it social now.
Social.
Oh, that's rough. This is so fucking stupid.
This seems like this isn't even, to me, a conundrum. Just say the fucking Sharon, be like, hey, I need you to cut that shit out.
Yeah.
Not only is it not cool, but it's also making me less likely to find someone that I actually meets my high standards. You know what I mean? Like, ugh. Your friend is, unless.
Oh, I know what you're thinking. She's trying to Mulholland Drive you.
Oh, no.
That's probably not true, though.
Well, there's also the possibility that you, okay, this is awful, but I'm going to tell you this, that maybe you are unconsciously wingmanning Sharon.
Wait a minute,
so
what?
You're going out to these bars together.
Oh, shit. Okay, so, no, this one pretty much doesn't even have a vagina. I'm Sharon, by the way. Oh, man.
I'm just saying that Sharon may enjoy having someone that is not on the pursuit that's there just talking her up and making her look good.
So you're getting the guys all heated up, right?
Sharon is poaching.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, you're right.
I'm just saying, like,
you can't, it seems to me
like she likes you. She likes you as her partner in crime, going out on the town because you're not a threat to her game.
That all makes perfect sense.
It does it though.
But I'm upset that maybe we've been doing this show for too long as a result.
Should that make sense? Oh, yeah, now we have to ask a
thing. Totally makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's because everyone in the world is devious.
Everybody's got secret. Well, okay. Everybody does have secret. I mean, like, she probably just thinks. Okay. When we are all so sort of lost with how to behave in public, that I think that it. There's part of us that likes having like a bit, you know, that you can do, like a routine, something that's comfortable where you kind of like, oh yeah, that's kind of our bit. So when we go out, our bit is, I pretend she's asexual and she's not. I don't actually know what the conclusion of the bit is, but
the person fucks the guy that this girl was trying to hook up with. That's the conclusion.
That's how it shakes out, right?
Yeah,
I don't know. I think it just sucks. No matter what, she's even if she thinks she's being harmless, like it's still
kind of a bitchy thing to do.
It is. It sucks.
I think you just need to
unless she's trying to set you up as like can't fuck this. You know what I mean?
Oh, she's putting her on a pedestal preemptively.
This is what I'm saying. It's not what I'm saying though, because it's the dumbest. Just
say it. Get it out there.
If you say that this person doesn't have sexual, then if the person is the right kind of person, or by which I mean the wrongest person ever, they might say, "Well, I can get some sexual in there. I bet.
Let me see.
I bet I can. You haven't seen what I do in there up and around it. Let me find out.
Maybe you're just Dan sexual. Hold on. let Dan find out what's going on in there. Maybe this whole time.
Might I suggest Dan?
Hey, don't be Dan phobic. This is.
Let me break you off some Dan. Just real quick. Which the taste of the flavor.
You know what they say? Once you go Dan, hey, did you try the flan?
Because Dan makes flan for you after he makes love to you.
Dan's the flan man.
That's Dan's. Don't even worry about it. That's basically Dan's calling card.
If you smell flan, you know Dan's been fucking.
Do you want to fuck Dan and eat some flan? Oh, what's that? You don't like flan? I understand.
The weirdest Dr. Seuss book ever written. Dan the man with the flan plan, fucking.
Dan's about two things. That was his man eating flan.
On his deathbed.
And we're all out of flan.
On his deathbed, Dr. Seuss handed that book to his publisher like, wait till you...
Dr. Seuss is like, listen, I know I told you that I didn't have any more books.
I said I was out the game, but wait till you hear my new shit.
I know I've been battling with mild dementia, but I believe this is my magnum opus.
Crack, really that bitch is fine. Let me know what you think.
It's like that scene in Proof.
It's from The Notebook. This is just pictures of a guy fucking some flan. He had so many character, Dan the fan fucking man.
What do you think? What do you think, Seuss Incorporated? Can I get another hit? No.
We are already building the ride at Universal.
We're gonna have to edit this more than the original story for Hop on Pop.
What the? You're on fire today.
I know.
Absolutely.
Keep passing him the rock.
Speaking of fucking flan, do you guys want to go to the Money Zone?
Yes.
Who I ever? Message from Marissa Yoko Hankins. Either that's her actual name or she tore apart her group of friends. We'll probably never know the truth.
Now she's Cassie, OG. I recognize that Twitter tag.
Cassie Rosenbrock is who this message is from, and she says, "Happy 26, Marissa. She's hilarious and kind. She works with nuns and she doesn't even use swears around them. She has a complicated dog named Tofu. She's converted everyone she knows to an MBMBAM fan, presumably not the nuns."
Well, yes, I don't see anything wrong with this.
And she deserves the best MBMBAM wish money can buy, so.
Happy birthday!
Happy birthday, here's your flan. I hope you have a crab-solutely wonderful birthday.
No, no.
Trav, hit me with this new one.
Hey, do you guys like iPhone games?
Yeah.
How about Bout?
Tell me about it, it sounds cool.
Wait, hold on. Tell me about it.
I'll tell you Bout. Bout is a photo-taking game you play with friends. It's made by Awkward Hug and College Humor, so that's pretty awesome right there. And Awkward Hug are huge My Brother, and Me fans.
I wrote a post about this game the other day. I had no idea that they were part of the...
Oh, shit. Cross-pro.
I know. The Mabim Bam Illuminati group. I don't know.
Skulls and Bonin.
What do we call our secret fans? Like our fans...
I said Skulls and Bonin.
Okay, Skulls and Bonin.
The Illuma naughty.
So, in Bout, I'll explain the rules because they just didn't do it. But luckily, I have that knowledge. By the way, maybe you should hire some marketing PR because you obviously don't know how to write promotional spots on comedy podcasts. You set up a category, like do your best Spider-Man, and then all your friends take pictures of themselves doing the best Spider-Man, and then the judge votes on the best picture. And
ooh. They cool.
That's such a good idea.
Yeah.
I like that.
It's fun.
So it's just Bout.
Yeah.
Check it out. Get it on the iTunes store.
Yeah.
You're going to be about it.
Oh, God.
This next one, I'm going to say I'm very excited about.
Oh, hit me, Trav. I'm ready.
You need to visit corndogday.com and order your party pack. Click on party pack button and get it. Seriously, get it. Happy National Corn Dog Day, everybody. National Corn Dog Day is March 23rd. What's that? It's a day to gather friends, watch the college basketball tournament, and eat fucking corn dogs. Lots and lots of corn dogs. Forget feats of strength. Try the triple-double. 10 corn dogs, 10 beer, and 100 dogs. I heard everything.
Susan! That's it happened again. God damn this holiday.
10 corn dogs, 10 beers, 100 tater tots in a single afternoon. Many have tried. Few have achieved. Ramp up the ultimate celebration on meat on sticks by ordering a Corn Dog Day party pack. The party pack have coupons for free boxes of corn dogs, posters, t-shirts, and other fun stuff. So go to corndogday.com and get it.
What the fuck, you guys?
Isn't that awesome?
It's That's but it doesn't best. Make I get like the National Dairy Farmers like doing commercials for milk and shit, but like corn dog seems pretty esoteric to
Brought
have its
to you
own.
By the Council for Corn Dogs,
I guess.
The
I mean, man, I haven't eaten a corn dog in a fucking grip though.
I know.
Oh man,
I want one really bad now.
Yeah, like when you corn dogs are one of those things where if you don't think about them a lot. Well, you're like most people, but when you do think about them, sometimes you just get fixated.
Yeah.
Right?
It's like it, when you hear hooves and you think zebra, then you're...
You want to eat a zebra dog.
You're legally like, insane.
Look at this art on the front page of Corn Dog Day that I just put in the Skype window, guys. It's like giant... this brawny woodman is airlifting corn dogs into a truck, and now all I can think about is eating a corn dog.
They'll kill you in a day, but... Now I want 10 corn dogs, 10 beers, and 800 tater tots.
So we hear you want to make your butt bigger. Well, we've got a recipe for you. It's the Ass Stopper XXL Butt Plug, brought to you by ExtremeRestraints.com. Now, for just $55, we're going to get you into a butt plug. Well, no, sorry. We're going to get a butt plug into you.
What's it going to take for me to get this butt plug in you? Mom, mark it down.
Before you leave our storeroom floor today, I want to put this butt plug in you.
Now, let me give you guys some perspective here, because I feel like as we mature, that is the most valuable thing we glean. The Ass Stopper is a super huge butt plug. Now, this is from the experts.
That's its gauge. That's its official gauge,
That's
right?
Its gauge. That's where the experts is at ExtremeRestraints.com. It's a super huge butt plug. And it stands about 9 inches high, and its widest point is 5 inches wide.
Justin, no kidding. This thing is enormous. This thing looks like a...
I'm looking at it, and there's an unshirted gentleman holding it, and he looks like he's accepting a Cable Ace Award.
He looks...
It is a massive...
He looks tired. He looks like he's suffering back problems from...
You see his tendons straining under the weight of this 3-pound butt plug. And yes, I did say 3 pounds... of filling pleasure. That, of course, is not all that ExtremeRestraints.com has to offer. It's got lots of things you can purchase for your vagina and your butt and stuff, and it's all 20% off if you use...
Quick question, what about my wiener and balls?
Oh, it's got... If you're not supposed to show it in public, Extreme Restraints has got something to stick in it or stick it in. And it's all 20% off if you use the coupon code MIDLIST. If you go to ExtremeRestraints.com, you can also find Extreme Restraints University, which have feature-length free videos about how to fuck dirty. So nice. If you want to do it raw and real, if you
have you been searching all over the internet for videos of people having sex but just haven't been able to find them? Don't worry.
There's a whole video about Dominant Diva. There's one about male chastity. There's one, which actually I think I saw that in church camp once, that male chastity video. So.
I think we signed a pledge and got some rings, if I remember correctly.
Sure. Right, but the ring wasn't a tiny cage that you put around your penis with a sign on it that says bad.
Maybe yours.
It might have been. I didn't look.
ExtremeRestraints.com is the website. You can use the coupon code MIDLIST. Save 20%.
Good luck not jerking off. Next question. Good luck.
Friends are constantly telling me I should move away from Oklahoma because there's nothing here for me. I understand there's a lot to do and experience in other parts of the country, but I spent my whole life here. I'm currently planning on going back to school, getting a master's in education, teaching English, which would give me plenty of time during the summer, winter, spring breaks to travel and see the better states. That's better in quotes, by the way. Will I regret not moving out of OK and seeing what else is out there? Additional details. I'm a musician. People tell me I'll never have the chance to blow up if I stay here, but I think I get to play plenty. Are people just projecting their ambitions on me? And that's from OK, Oklahoma.
Man, this is going to get real. Yeah, they are projecting their ambitions onto you, which is what we are about to do also. Mm-hmm. Brace your ears.
Maybe. Well, let me give us some perspective on Oklahoma first.
I'm going to say this here, because having lived in both Oklahoma and West Virginia, two of the most shat upon states in the union, I think that my take on it is that every state is more or less the same. If you discount California and New York, every state is just about the same. They have big cities, like two or three, you know, maybe more big cities, and then lots of open space in between.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I look at Ohio, and it's got, you know, Columbus and Cincinnati and Cleveland, which are huge cities. If you drive, like, 10 minutes, or they're relatively large cities. If you drive 10 minutes outside of Cincinnati, there ain't nothing.
Yeah, it's a fart hole.
I mean, it's the same driving into Chicago in Illinois, you know? You drive from Cincinnati to there. You hit Chicago, it's gigantic. But, like, 20 miles outside of Chicago, it's farmland.
Yeah. But I think what's more important than just Oklahoma, I think that the point of here's what I'll say. If you are having any doubts at all about it, you definitely need to look around. Like, you definitely need to do a tour like you're planning on. 'Cause, like, you really won't know what is best for you out there until you look. Like, that's the only way that you can check it out. And look in earnest.
I think it's a great point, Griffin. I think you can you can get conditioned to one area and think that other areas are, they become more foreign to you, and that you think, well, I could never be at home there. Mm-hmm. So I would heartily recommend. I mean, like, obviously I've decided to settle here in West Virginia. I've been all over. I mean, I've been to most of the major American cities. And I've checked it out. I've seen what's going on, and I've always wanted to come back here.
I think you got scared by all the cars.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what are these triceratops? Like, I don't know.
What are these fire breathing? I don't know. The thing is like, I think the important thing to keep in mind is end up where the best best setting for what you want to do. You know what I mean? So, for example, if you want to teach, you know, college English, make sure you settle down near a college that has a good English department.
And not in Chicago, because it's very hard to get a teaching job there.
Yeah. But if you want to do music, if you want to go the music route, then yeah, you probably don't want to end up in Norman, Oklahoma.
Yeah.
That said, like, you know, I know lots of people that they live in smaller towns and they play at bars and they play at music festivals. And
maybe that's, know, like, fun for you. Like, you can just, I mean, yeah, you're not going to blow up. Like, do you want to? That seems really hard. It seems really hard to be, like, a big, gigantic rock star. It seems like the odds are probably... See, that is my only problem with people moving to giant cities banking, like, a very unlikely career on them. You know? Mm-hmm. Like, if you want to... First off, with the internet now, you can have a music career outside of New York, L.A., Chicago. I mean, you can sell music direct to people and build a following that way. And yeah, I mean, eventually you'll probably need to tour if you start to catch on. But like, you look at a musician like Jonathan Colton, he built his following completely online before he ever started.
Well, that's what Brent did. Out.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, that's what Brent did. Well, he started on YouTube, and now he very rarely actually performs in New York. He travels to conferences and does all that. You know, I remind my friend Maggie, her dad is a stand-up comic. He started when he was like 30, 35, kind of late, a little bit late. And he makes his living entirely off of doing stand-up comedy. And he just tours, you know. He'll stop and play a week somewhere and then go home and, you know, be home for a while. And that's how he makes his living.
Mm-hmm.
And he, you know, lives in Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you just tour to other places.
Got kids all up and down 66, I bet. Mm-hmm. I'm saying your friend's dad is an adulterer.
No, I picked that up after I agreed with it. Now I feel awful. But it's one of those things where, like, you make your own scenario, dude. You know what I mean? So if you want to stay in Oklahoma and do other things, do it, you know? But that said, there are better environments for certain things. Like, if you want to work in the film industry, yeah, you probably shouldn't stay, you know, in Oklahoma.
It's so hard to be happy.
And it
if
is.
You're happy in Oklahoma, like, fucking ride that comet, Little Prince. Yeah.
It couldn't be, like, that couldn't be, that's the most important thing. And it seems like such an obvious thing, but I had so many friends that, like, that left college or high school and said, like, I'm just going to move to this place because, you know, I think I could find a job there and be very successful. And none of them were especially happy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's why I kept moving around after I graduated, because I don't know. I just couldn't. I wasn't as happy as I am now in Austin, and I knew that it was out there. It wasn't for me in Huntington or Cincinnati or Chicago. Like, I had to come here to find it.
You know, Teresa and I have had a lot of discussions about this, and I apologize to our listeners because, like, none of this is really funny, but Teresa and I had a conversation about this very early on, and the idea is, like, the thing to keep in mind is, places don't make you happy.
No.
Like, you gotta be happy in the place.
The place, I mean? The place can have shit that makes you happy, but ultimately, humans, like, we don't need that much shit. Like, I need a few nice restaurants and mm-hmm. a bar that I can go to that doesn't give me the creepos, and a movie theater that where all the people don't talk. And literally, if I have all that shit, and I'm basically set.
Even you know, talk to people who are in New York, you know, you ask them about, you know, what's your favorite Thai place? Well, there is the Thai place that is within two blocks of me.
Right.
And you'll ask them about someplace else. Like, I don't know. That's three blocks away. How can I know where that is? I don't know.
What am I, a millionaire? That? I can't travel. You know, it's just like, you know, find a place that makes you happy. Now, if Oklahoma makes you happy, then, yeah, don't worry about it, dude. But if you find yourself, like, sighing out the window, then yeah, maybe go exploring.
We're not
go rambling.
I don't mean to make it sound like we're shitting on New York. It's just like, I don't know. I think that it really does come down to the type of person you are. If mm-hmm. you can put up with having way, 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 way more shit in the place you live than you could possibly ever see, and as a result, sort of pay a convenience tax on that mm-hmm. shit, like. Yeah, there are 100 Thai places to go to, but, like, buying groceries fucking sucks. Like, I think that if you are the kind of person who can make that trade-off, go for it. Seriously, though, you have to look around. And I know that this has been kind of long and not funny, but I feel like this is, like, a huge issue that a lot of people...
We're a more mobile society than we've ever been before.
Yes.
It makes more sense than ever before, I think, too. It's never been easier to, like, stay connected to the place you grew up and to the people that you love, and I think that makes us feel a lot more, you know, I think it puts more of an onus on you sometimes to travel, because it you know, you can still stay tethered
I also think it's a social, you know, thing where there's kind of an understanding that, like, oh, if you really want to live it up, then you got to move somewhere bigger.
Yeah, fuck that.
I think there is no
best city. Like, period, except for Austin. There, you just have to find the best city for you, which is probably Austin.
Okay, let's move on. Griffin, do you have a Yahoo question for me?
Yeah, I sure do.
I've been waiting for it, and I think you know the one I need.
Oh, I don't. This one was sent in by Brian Root. Thanks, Brian. It's by Yahoo Answers user Machi, who asks, what are the consequences of brandishing a samurai sword in public? Can I just walk downtown with it without troubling anyone? I don't know. Can you?
I don't know. Since that's never happened before ever, it's
I don't
hard
know.
To answer.
I don't know. Time Ninja. Can you fucking keep it under wraps and keep your heels cool while you're walking down the street with that samurai sword?
If I see you...
Wait, okay, wait. Is he... When he says brandishing, does he mean, like, in it, like, on his belt?
I don't
or
think
is he,
he's
like,
using...
he's walking around carrying
he's
it?
He's walking full blown.
I don't think he's using his vocab. Like, brandishing is out of the scabbard.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Brandishing is out of his shower, like, shaking it at people.
Right.
Scabbard in one hand. Samurai sword.
I'm not troubling
you. Holding them out. Holding them aloft. Full blown Michonne. Just, like, ready to. Looking like he's about to wreck shit.
Mm-hmm. I think that I think that I've never seen someone with a samurai sword, scabbarded or unscabbarded, there I wasn't troubled. I will be troubled. The trouble is inherent to having the samurai sword there.
Unless you are a block away from San Diego Comic Con. But even then, it's like, go back to your fucking zoo.
then if you go half a block more, just a guy with a shotgun goes, head on back now.
Yep. Nope. Turn it right back around.
He's going head on right on back. All right.
Prison, I think, is a pretty solid consequence.
See, I disagree, Griffin, and I think it's psychiatric counseling. Go, hey, so why did you think that was a good idea?
Holy shit. This would be like an amazing movement against like gun nut people. Is if people who don't like guns, what are they called? Anti-gun people. Just carry around giant swords in public. And then the gun people are like, hey, you're making me super uncomfortable. And it's like, that's how that little thing in your belt makes me feel.
I think what you have to do is you got to make sure, is there like some kind of government agency you go to get a permit to carry your sword? There's got to be, right? You get a concealed carry for your gun.
I think the True Love Waits card works pretty much the same way. Promise not to have sex. Yup.
You got it.
Here's your sword.
Samurai sword. That's what they should hand out at True Love Waits. Instead of a promise ring, you get a promise samurai sword. Because you are not having sex tonight,
and here's,
sir.
You either this or these steampunk goggles. Or this jester hat. Man, fucking, my kids will never believe high school in the aughts. There's this store called Hot Topic. It fucking sucked.
No, surely that's just a store of legends.
No, it was real, it sucked.
Everything was really, really bad.
It was a bad time.
It was a bad time basically for everybody. Nobody fucked. That's why the population dropped so significantly.
Now, hand me some of those MREs and some of the boiler water so we can continue to thrive in the Outlands.
Let's see.
Thanks for nothing, Hot Topic.
Here we wear our goggles unironically to protect ourselves from the radiation.
Because of the dust tornadoes.
It's Hot Topic.
I wish we had samurai swords now because of the mutants.
Hot Topic is going to sponsor Children of Men 2. And it's going to be like, no babies have been born. It's not because we stopped fucking. It's just like, who wants to? Look at him. Look at him. He looks like a cyber clown.
He's just Clive Owen wearing ironic Super Mario t-shirts. Well, we're not fucking.
His shirt has cat dog on it. He smells like Funyuns. I hate him.
What happened to you, Clive Owen? You were in Shoot 'Em Up. What happened?
You're in Shoot 'Em Up, but now your bracelet has spikes on it. It's 4 inches wide.
I'm having a hard time thinking about fucking you because you're playing Dance Dance Revolution. Can we go?
Can we go? Can you put me in your giant black denim jean pocket and carry me away? Like a kangaroo. We done?
Yep.
Is that it? Is that enough jokes? All right. This has been My Brother, Me. It's an advice show for the modern era. We thank you so much for listening to it and enjoying it. And thank you to people tweeting about our program using the MBMBAM hashtag. I would ask that you if you're going to tweet about our show, throw in some links to our sampler. It's bit.ly/itsmabimbam.
How's the second chapter of that coming?
The second one is like it's sort of in the works.
Mm-hmm. Justin's been done for months. Justin's just whittling every precious millisecond off of it. He's trying to hone it down to the perfect.
I just want to get it perfect and done. So that's coming along. I'm getting there. And thank you for sharing the show.
Yeah.
Hey, we need to get real serious for a moment.
Okay.
So there's this whole issue going around with podcasts, and there are some patent trolls that are really just being assholes.
They're jerks.
Yeah, basically what it is they're claiming that they invented podcasts and everything that people do is illegal and infringing on their copyright. Our friends at Stuff You Should Know have been hit by it. Adam Carolla has been hit by it. It's a bunch of really shitty dudes doing this. Our only hope is right now going through Congress. It's what's called the SHIELD Act, which basically says that if this frivolous lawsuit comes up, if the podcast wins, if the defendant wins, the patent troll is forced to pay the legal fees.
Right. It's the odds of the us losing is, you know, negligible, but the legal fees would be they would be crippling. To, you know, if it hit us, it would be like pretty much the end of, like, I don't think we could pay for what it would take to do it. And I think if Maximum Fun got hit, like, it would be devastating. So
we'd have to just start emailing you. We'd have to start mailing cassette tapes.
Right. Mm-hmm. We would have
it'd
to
become a whole underground podcast movement.
Do you know those email chains that your stepdad forwards to you, and they're like kind of like, they kind of say some offensive stuff about Justice Sotomayor, and you're like, I don't know how to feel about this. That is basically what we'd be reduced to, is email chains that we would send through your stepdad.
So we're going to be posting a link for it today. We're working with the Electronic Frontier Foundation to mobilize podcast fans to contact their Congress people about the SHIELD Act and tell them to, you know, pass it and help us. And it's really important to us. It's important to Max Fun, but more than anything, it's kind of important to the podcast medium in general. So, you know, you guys are fans.
Let's stop this thing together, yeah. I guess.
How did, so when we post that URL, make sure you click it and do what you need to do.
Yes, we can.
Yes, we can. Finally.
Change.
Change you can believe in. So that's going to do it for us here on My Brother and Me. Thanks to John Roderick and the Lana Winters for letting us use their song, It's a Departure, off the album Putting the Days to Bed. You can go get that on iTunes. And make sure you join us again next Monday for My Brother and Me. Oh, if you want to email us your questions, your quandaries, your queries, you send them to mbmbam@maximumfun.org. And if you want to get a birthday announcement or whatever, congratulate someone in a shout out, it's at maximumfun.org/Jumbotron.
It's finally Yahoo is sent in by Ira Ray.
Are you Ira Ray?
See, I just tried to sing it, like sing the first part so that we could just like get through it as fast as we can.
No dice.
Okay. Thanks, Ira Ray. It's by Yahoo Answers user Mormots, who asks, what around the house stuff can I use to make my daughter look like Benjamin Franklin?
Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
This has been My Brother, My Brother and Me. Kiss your dad.